Lay.
Sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing the 2023 Rocket Mortgage Classic. You can find myself on Twitter at BDentrick, the podcast at Always Press DFS, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing, my friend?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well. It's a Tuesday. I had some technical difficulties on Monday, so we moved off Monday to Tuesday to get you ready for the Rocket Mortgage, which will be another birdie fest, like we saw this past weekend. So I guess the brass tacks of it all, Keegan Bradley picks up the hometown win. That was fun to watch, especially when they gave his son's little trophies to mimic it. That was cool. As a whole, though, what was your takeaway from the Travelers? Like, it was a fun tournament, but it was bogey bonanza.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was, I don't know. I didn't watch much on the week. I didn't watch any on the weekend, so don't really have much of a take other than, I mean, Keegan, 62, 63, 64. Pretty good. And 68 on Sunday, just enough to get it done. What about Zach Blair? I'm just like, that I was texting awesome. People like, how the fuck did he get in the tournament?
That's this the
elevated
one thing
event, right?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to figure out, because like I didn't hear about him all week. And then I told you, you didn't watch much. I was away at the beach on Sunday with my daughter. So like I watched the replay at night when I was doing stuff, but I didn't get to like watch much. But I saw Zach Blair finish second minus 20. Like, where the hell did he come from? Like, how did that just happen? I know there's sponsors exemptions, but I didn't think he'd be on that list. So, great question. Great story. Again, another reason why don't make these events, you know, I guess smaller than they need to be. But, I don't know. I don't know how he got in there.
The other thing is Scottie Scheffler. I mean, obviously
just the consistency, dude.
It's just crazy. He's finished like inside the top five in his last, I don't know, six or eight events. It's
It's been top 12. I think it makes 17 or 18 in a row. Top 12. I don't know if people can fathom how insane, just making the cut that many times in a row is pretty darn good. Like Tiger's record will probably never be broken.
Right.
But 18 events in a row of a top 12 finish, when you throw in elevated events, you throw in majors are in there. Like, he's playing the best of the best. He plays an occasional, Rocket Mortgage type field, but for the most part, he's playing with the big boys every single time.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And then Ricky had another big week. Ricky looked good. JT found his form. That was interesting to see.
Where did he finish?
I think he finished
a good weekend, 62,
67. I was 8 under on Saturday. I know that much. And then they were interviewing him. I watched most of Saturday. And after the round, and Amanda goes, it says something, I know your play's been rough of late. How are you feeling now? He's all, yeah, it's been pretty rough. I haven't been able to sit here and talk to you in a while. It's true. Like, it was pretty funny the way he
weekends,
said it.
Yeah.
But then Ricky even said it, because JT waited on Saturday and like shook Ricky's hand after his round because he almost shot a 59. And Ricky said, this is what it's all about. We're finally all playing good golf again. And it's kind of cool to hang out. And, this is how it all started way back in the day. So,
yeah. And then they went on spring break together and everybody went to hell.
And now Smiley's doing broadcasting. So,
right.
Which he's actually pretty good at. I'll give him credit for that.
I agree.
He's pretty damn good on that one. So it makes that work pretty well. Yeah, it was a good tournament. I hated hearing Rory's comments. I don't know if you saw those, complaining about the course being too easy. It's like, Rory,
standard course on the PGA Tour. They're all easy.
They all are because these guys can bomb the ball. And then Rory complains and they show his drive on 18 was like 100 yards past everybody else's. It's like, well, you're taking advantage of it too. You just couldn't putt. Shut up and play. Like he told Grayson Murray, play better.
Right.
Yeah. That's the bottom line. Yeah,
I agree.
I don't think he's ever won a tournament shooting over, like, it's been 10 under or less, like a stat like that for Rory every tournament he's won. So, I don't know. I think that's kind of like one of those. You just got to keep that one to yourself, buddy. Like, you didn't win. Mm-hmm. Yeah, quiet. But yeah. Other than that, it was a fun week. It was tilting for me on the DFS front because I had a strong 6-6 heading over the weekend, and it min cashed because three or four of the guys basically shot even par on the weekend, which will not cut it at a tournament like this. It went into Sunday not cashing. It ended up cashing. I was about to I've been back-to-back weeks. Back-to-back weeks. I had a 6-6 in the open, not cashing. And that. I was like, I was about to be full tilt mode. But we'll see what we can do this week at the Rocket Mortgage up there in Detroit, Michigan. What do you got for some past event history?
Yeah, it's been played at this same golf course, Detroit Golf Club, the last 4 years, I believe, right?
Sorry, in 2019, yep.
Yep. So last year, Tony Finau won 26 under, five shots over Cantlay, Pendrith, and Cam Young. 2021 was Cam Davis, 18 under in a playoff over Troy Merritt, Joaquin Neiman. 2020 was Bryson, 23 under, three shots over Matt Wolf. And 2019 was Nate Lashley, 25 under, six shots over Doc Redman. I think it was opposite field that year, maybe. But either way, yeah, I mean, pretty new event. But, yeah, four straight years of what I would consider bombers.
Yes, it's Lashley Monday queued that week and won. That was the week where Redmond put certain people on the map. So that was a fun week as well. But yeah, it's pretty much a bomber's paradise, as you said. Like, this is where Bryson started testing out the bomb and gouge method, and you know Wolf was right there. So yeah, it's a very friendly course. It's basically get hot with the flat stick, boys and girls, because when you look at this golf course, it's a par 72, 7,230 yards at Detroit Golf Club. Donald Ross design, we've seen plenty of those, especially in the north, the north and then the northeast area, even just east in general. A lot of Donald Ross out there. Tons of tree lined, but the fairways are extremely wide. It's super flat, so you're not going to get the undulations you expect. I think I saw somewhere the average field hits the fairways like 70-ish% of the time, if not more, which is insane for any golf course. That's what allows you to bomb and gouge very, very well. The greens are not super small. They're a little below average, though. So you still have to hit the greens, obviously. You have to be pin-seeking. Scrambling won't matter here because you'll be screwed. The rough is thick around the greens, but if you're already there, you're probably not making the cut anyways because you need to be birdie or better. You have to take advantage of the par fives. They're very gettable par fives. Last year was the eighth easiest golf course on tour. Most, I think I saw somewhere 80-ish% of approach shots are within like the 125-ish range, something like if you basically do 150 and in, so it's a wedge fest, you'll be good to go there. They did get some rain recently, so it's gonna be extra soft, which means more pin seeking is what you're gonna see here. There's only one water hazard on the course, not a ton of, you know, out of bounds situations, so you can spray it around, and as long as you have a good wedge game, you're probably gonna be okay. Most of the par fours are 400 to 450. So again, not a super long in that regard. It's most of the length comes in the par fives and an occasional par three. Like one par three is 233. Another par three is 207. But for the most part, you got short par fours, very gettable par fives. It's a course that we should just take advantage of all day long. So what kind of stats are you looking at this week?
Yeah, I mean, I think you kind of hit it. It's strokes gained tee to green, and then luck box putting. I mean, it's the name of the game with most of these courses on the PGA Tour anymore, outside of majors and a few others. Just got to get somebody who gets a hot flat stick. Just got to get lucky, basically. But par five scoring matters, like you said, and then there's course history to wait as well.
Yes, indeedy. So let's get at it. DK pricing in this event. We have five golfers over $10,000. Finau, the defending champion, is at 10-9. Morikawa at 10-6. Fowler 10-4, Homa 10-2, JT 10,000. How are you looking at this? It's amazing. JT gets quite the bump all of a sudden with one good week into golf. So what are we looking at this week?
Yeah, I think it's more of a just the field. You know, I mean, he's played in nothing but like really good field since, I mean, all year. The Valspar, 10,900. Then that was probably the last like major or elevated event. But anyway, it's Ricky Fowler for me up top here. Like, he's going to win soon. That 62 on Saturday, I think, was a huge – or 60, excuse me. That 60 on Saturday was a huge deal. He has played here four straight years. He's made the cut three out of four, missed the cut last year. Doesn't really matter in my opinion. But four straight top 13s for him. He was three straight top 10s before finishing 13th last week. Just didn't have a great Sunday, but either way, it's just Ricky, and that's it. I think he's going to be highly owned, but I'm just going to play him anyway.
Yep, don't blame you one bit on that one. Ricky's going to be popular. He's well talked about. He's fifth in my model over the last 24 rounds. He's first in this field in par fives over the last 24, second in birdie or better. He does perfectly right out for this course. You mentioned his course history. He is a Rocket Mortgage guy, so he's going to have that going for him as well. So, yeah, you can go that route. don't mind looking back at Tony Finau at 10-9. If you're talking about like a guy that can bomb and gouge it, and it's just about getting hot with the putter because most of his approach game is fine. Getting birdies has always been a thing for him. It's just a matter of can he get the flat stick working. So Finau looks good there. And then I don't know if I want to jump back in on JT just yet, but if it's a course where he can spray it a little bit, because like his driving percentage is what's been killing him on these tougher courses, it won't be as bad here. So if he can do that, his approach game's always been pretty solid. And if he can just get that putter going, he could be quite interesting as well. But Ricky's the man to have here. Don't mind Finau. It's pretty weird not talking about Max Homa, but I don't know where Max Homa's game is right now. It's all over the place. So I'm going to have to just kind of sit back and wait for him to find it and hopefully get it going somewhere else. $9,000 range. You got Tom Kim at 98, Matsuyama 96, Sungjae 94, Cam Davis 93, Keegan 92, and Harry English, who hurt me over the weekend.
He also withdrew.
Oh, he did? Well, there goes
that. Yeah, it was earlier today. He's still in Mafia.
I know some other guys that withdrew are still in this thing, so I'll probably mention a few more on accident.
Yeah.
But 9K range, who you got?
Definitely don't play Harris English. Tom Kim, man. 9,800. Finished seventh here last year and is seems to be trending in the right direction. It kind of one bad round last week. It was a 72 on Saturday. And if you're shooting, like you said, if you're shooting, like we talked about earlier, if you're shooting even par at that golf course last week, you're getting lapped. And then Hideki, I think, is very playable too. He has played here 3 years. Didn't play here last year, but the 3 years before that, he withdrew in 21, but 21st and 13th in the two appearances prior to that. And it's on a nice little run here right now since the missed cuts back in early, mid-February and early March. He's on a little run, so I think Hideki's very playable. The rest of the guys, I'm not going to play Cam Davis.
He's going to be your next question. Very popular this week. And I had Cam Davis last week. He shot 7-under on Sunday to make that look a lot better than it was last week. Like he grinded his ass off just to make it to the weekend. Didn't do much on Saturday. Had a big Sunday. He loves those Pete Dye courses. Remember that. And he's played well here. So it's like the perfect storm for a guy that can't drive the golf ball very well, but that can bomb it. But I'm kind of nervous. I'm not playing a chalky Cam Davis. I'll tell you that much right now. Yeah. I agree with Tom Kim. It's weird because like he's been struggling. So I've kind of been off of him. You mentioned his last two events have been very strong. And if you just like believe in stats, he's second over the last 24 rounds, fifth in approach, first from 125 to 150. He's fourth on par five scoring. He's 11th in birdie or better. So he just kind of like does all the things. It's just putting that's been killing him. And that we're going to say it about a bunch of guys here that just takes one little thing and no one would be shocked if Tom Kim makes it to the weekend and makes a run. So I'm with you with Kim at 98. I've been playing Matsuyama religiously because no one else does. It's like a broken record on this show. He's third in my model. He's first in opportunities gained. He's second proximity, 1 to 125, second approach. I love Matsuyama. I'll keep playing him over and over again. The only other guy I'll mention here, and I don't know if the thrill cocks will be on his bag again, is Sungjae Im.
He is. He's on this. Bucks. He was on his bag last weekend. This week it was 2 weeks.
Okay, I didn't know if it was this week too, but yeah, last week. I love when these guys that have a Twitter presence and a good Twitter presence, not just an annoying one, are on there because you get a lot of insight on Sungjae's round. And you look at Sungjae, he finished T29, but it was mainly the one. I think it was Saturday. It's Friday or Saturday where his driver just went haywire again. But Wilcox was talking about his approach game was just still on point. Like if he leaves himself in the fairway, he's throwing darts, and that's the old Sungjae. We used to love Sungjae in birdie fest because he will go pin seeking. He used to be a par five machine. He's only 43rd in the last 24 rounds because he's been struggling with the drive. It all kind of pans out that if he can somehow just keep it in the fairway here, which, like I said, one of the easiest courses to do it on, this could be big for Sungjae. So I think Sungjae at 94 is another one to go with here. So Kim, Matsuyama, Sungjae, you have the Asian connection up top here in the 9K range that I think you are all very, very playable on this one. 8K, you got the Jaeger Bombs at 89 getting the price bump, and I think rightfully so for this field. Harman at 88, Ludvig Edberg, I don't know how chalky he's going to be, at 87, Smalley 86, Kirk 85, Hoagie 84, Sepp 83, Binion 82, Adam Hadwin 81, and Ekroat at 8,000. Fun range here, especially for tournaments.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, do I want to pay $8,900 for Steven Jaeger? No.
That's the question.
I don't think anybody else will either. He finished fifth here last year. And hasn't missed a cut since the Heritage right after the Masters. Been playing well. I mean, 64th last week, not great, but 24th at Memorial, Charles Schwab, 68th. I mean, he's around there making cuts anyways. Aberg for sure at this price in this field. He hasn't missed a cut this year, just turned pro. So, you know, yeah, two back-to-back top 25s for him on tour. Been on two of two made cuts at this course, coming off a missed cut at the Travelers where he shot 68, 69 and didn't make the cut.
That's rough.
So it's not like he was playing bad. Yeah. He just didn't make didn't make one birdie enough or made one too many bogeys. But either way, he's very playable. And then Ekroat at 8,000. He missed the cut here and is only starting 21, but he has not missed a cut on tour since the Texas Open in early April, and has put, you know, four or five straight weeks together here, that which are really solid, 24th, 10th, 30th, 16th, 2nd. So Ekroat's playing really well at $8,000. I like him quite a bit.
Yeah, we're a lot of the same page here. Like, I do like Jaeger just for the fact that in tournaments, no one's going to roster him, and he's a total boomer bust guy. Like, I tried to tell myself in recent years at tournaments like this, think Corn Ferry dudes, and Jaeger is one of those guys just go pin sinking. That's all you do on the Corn Ferry tour because you have to. And Jaeger's got that upside at 89, so I'm there for that. Brian Harman's another interesting one because he won't rate out well. He played well last week because that's what he does. He loves that golf course. Like, just remember that for the future. Play Brian Harman at the Travelers. That's like his golf course. But still, 43rd at the U.S. Open, missed cut the Memorial, 29th at the Schwab. But you look back here, he hasn't played here in 2 years. Maybe he's finding a turn. Maybe it was just as a course he likes. So he could be interesting. I'd rather play Jaeger than Harman. But Aberg, I like a ton, just like you. It's hard not to. He's third in par five scoring the last 24 rounds, and he's a bomber, an absolute bomber. So he'll be good. If you talk about course history, Chris Kirk, 17th, 12th, 21st in his last three times here. But recent form has been dreadful. Missed cut the U.S. Open, missed cut the Memorial, missed cut the Schwab, 29th, the PGA Championship. So that's a little murky there, but he could be in the pool at 85. Alex Smalley coming off a nice week last week. He's another guy that can get in those birdie fests and go pin seeking. 9th at the Travelers, 25th at Canadian Open, missed cut Memorial, then made a couple cuts prior to that. So Smalley is intriguing. I love Ekroat. I'm with you. He's 4th in my model. Like, you just look at his stats. Like you say, he's been on a good run here of late. 10th in par 5 scoring, 9th in opportunities gained. He's strong. And the only other guys I'll mention, I won't go deep into them, is tournaments like this is where guys like Sepp Straka show up at $8,300 because he has a phenomenal approach game, and this will allow him to hit fairways. So this is big for him. 38th last week, missed the U.S. Open, 16th Memorial, 29th at Schwab, 7th at PGA Championship. So overall, if, you know, U.S. Open is what it is. He's coming in pretty good form for Sepp. And then I'll mention the same for Adam Hadwin. He's coming in decent form. And you look at past event history here, Hadwin 37th, missed cut in a 4th. So he's played well here 2 out of 3 years. So you have a lot of fun ways to make pivots here if you want. I'm not going to tell you not to play Aberg, but he's going to be super popular in this range, and that gives you a ton of pivots to go off of. 7K range, 75 to 79. You got Taylor Moore, Riley, your boy, Aaron Rye, Hogard, Seabez, who shit the bed last week, Bramlett, Hostler, P-Rod, who got – he withdrew, I believe. Brandon Wu, Mark Hubbard, and Gordon Sargent, and then probably popular J.J. Spahn. So what do you like in this range?
Yeah, Sue up top there at 79. He has missed the cut in his last two starts at this course, but he's playing a lot better golf this year. Taylor Moore at 79 as well, finished 6th here last year, but three consecutive missed cuts for him on tour. So, you know, when you're choosing between those two, it's either the course history or the current form. And then Rye at 78. He's never played here, but now has back-to-back made cuts, 24th and 3rd in his last two starts, which are birdie fests. Well, the Canadian wasn't necessarily a birdie fest, but the Travelers was, obviously, and this week will be as well. Yeah, J.J. Spahn at 7,500, 4 of 4 made cuts here. I was kind of looking back just to see, you know, kind of how he was playing coming in here last year, and it's kind of similar. Obviously, he had a win last year in April of 22 at the Texas Open, and then went on a little bit of a dive after that, but then finished 8th at this event. And it's kind of similar this year, with just without the win and a few more missed cuts. So I think he's fine. 7,500, Gordon Sargent. This is a guy who's played the Masters, played the U.S. Open this year. I think he's a sophomore at Vanderbilt. I'm sure he's getting a sponsor invite here, but just absolutely murders it. The scrambling, the accuracy, that shit's not necessarily always there for him, but 7,500. I like him in GPPs quite a bit.
I don't mind that at all. For me, Aaron Rye, I'm with. He's still, even though he's kind of struggled a little bit, it's all the putter. and he's still sixth in my model, second in par five scoring. So that should allow him to have some fun there. Nicholas Hoegaard is one that's very intriguing to me. 27th in my model. Great approach numbers, decent par five scoring, ninth and birdie or better. He can bomb the ball. So Hoegaard at 77 would be one in this field I'd look at. JJ Spahn I had circled on here. Brandon Wu is another guy I just keep finding ways to play at $7,500. He's coming with a T30 here last year. And then if you go farther back in current form, missed cut, ninth at Canadian, cut. So boomer bust tournament. The guy I'm going to go to looking for a bounce back is Hubba Hubba Hubbard. Missed cut last week, but 6th, 30th, 9th, 75th is four previous tournaments. Missed cut two straight years here, but T12 in 2020. He's playing much, much better than the last 2 years. I think we can all agree on that. He's 25th in my model. He's first on approach in this field, 7th in the short par four scoring. I'll take some chances on a bounce back for Hubbard at $7,500. Everyone was in love with him. Goes and misses the cut. Maybe get some low ownership on a guy that can definitely get birdies and bunches with Mark Hubbard. 7K to 74, do you like him?
Pendrith at 7,400, second here last year, but two consecutive miscuts for him, not having a really great year, but just the course history there. Doug Gim, he's only made one out of three cuts at this event. He finished 32nd in 2021, but three straight top 20s for him. If you go back to Wells Fargo, four straight top 30s, that's really solid for somebody who's at $7,400. Sam Stevens at 7,300, finally got labs to link everything up. which is good because, you know, he shot, I think he was two over, four under, so he ended up two under, didn't make the cut, but he at 83% of the greens just absolutely could not putt. And that's two straight weeks for him where the putter hasn't been there. So I will most definitely go back this week at 7,300 and hope that the putter can get a little hot. Then there's Palmer, Neesmith, Hodges, all these guys are, you know, playable if you want. Luke List at 7,100. Come off a 33rd last week. Will Gordon, you know, he's up and down. He's just GPP only. Matt Wallace is playable. Dylan Wu at 7,000. He missed the cut here last year, coming off a missed cut at the Travelers, but I think he's very playable at 7,000. I mean, there's quite a bit of guys like here. I don't want to, like, overly bore people with every single buddy's stats here, but you know, there's plenty to like in this 7,000 range. It's, I mean, it's difficult for cash, but GBP wise, there's some guys down there.
It's difficult for cash, and it allows you to probably hopefully not get into the 6K range. So
yeah,
that's the beauty of it. I like Gim as well. I'm with you there. 19th in my mall. He's playing really good golf. Great par five score. Dietrich, I'll go right back to just because I think he's better than $7,400 in this field. I know it's his first time here, and he's coming off the missed cut last week where he just played horrible golf last week. But coming in pretty good form prior to that. So I'll go back to Dietrich at 74. He's a guy that can bomb it as well. So he could fit this very well. Sam Stevens, yes, that's obvious for me. But Adam Shank at 73, a guy that was playing really, really good for a while there, kind of slowed down back-to-back missed cuts here. In a tournament at 73, I have no problem going to some Adam Shank. Lee Hodges is another guy I'd look at. Ches Reavie had a big week last week. I'm not playing him because of that so much. I'm playing him for two reasons. The price is $7,200, and he has continued to make cuts. Even before the fourth last week, 25th at the Canadian Open, 58th at Memorial, 40th at Charles Schwab, 40th at the PGA. That'll play at $7,200, especially with the upside he could bring to the table here. And then I have, like, Matt Wallace has great course history, current form not so much, but great course history. Hayden Buckley I like at 7K. A guy I'll save him for the end. Ash K. Bhatia is only 7K. He's 30th in my model. He's a guy, if he could ever putt, he can fill birdies up in bunches. And then the one that was not mentioned that I'm surprised, dude, I don't know if he just did it nicely for me.
No, or not. I didn't know. He's not. He's like, he's not rated highly at all in my model. But yes, I know exactly what you're going to say. And yes, he is very playable.
Carson Young is $7,000, folks. Yep. He's never played at this event. I don't care because we know how he's been playing, and it's been pretty damn good. 15th last week, miscut the U.S. Open, whatever. 43rd, 21st. He's still far too cheap for this field because he's a guy that can definitely birdie a bunch. He's 32nd in my model. He's third in birdie or betters over the last 24 rounds, and he can actually putt. He's third in this field in putting, and that can obviously change.
Yeah.
Putting stats I don't care that much about. I just use to, like, say who's been really bad. Because anybody that golfs knows you can putt, definitely hold a hole. It can get that wild.
Right.
But he's also 15th in par five scoring. for $7,000, I'll take my chances with Carson Young.
Yeah, I agree.
In a heartbeat. All right, 6K range. Who do you like him?
There's Callum Tarran at 6,900, finished 20th here last year, has made two straight cuts on tour. Sam Bennett, he's the dude out of, I think, Texas A&M.
Yep.
Just recently turned pro, $6,900. I think he's playable. My Doc pick of the week would be Doc Redmond, just because he is Doc.
Yep.
You know, two straight missed cuts for him, but the course history is definitely there. You know, 57th missed cut, 21st, second. Back in 2019, that was a hell of a year. Lonto Griffin at $6,600. He's made the cut in both of his appearances here. Didn't play last year, 25th and 21, 21st and 20. But two straight missed cuts. I mean, the form is just not good. Jonathan Bird, for some reason, my model likes him. Missed cut here in 22, made the cut in 20, finished 12th. Has made five consecutive cuts on the PGA Tour, which is – quite amazing. Brent Grant is another name that, and Peter Kust missed cut here last year, but made his last two cuts on tour that I've got, Canadian Open and Byron Nelson. So, yeah, that's it.
I'm looking at Scott Stallings has been playing really rough golf of late. I'll be the first to admit that. He's got a, where did he go? Oh, here he is. He's basically a million missed cuts in a row. So take that with what you wish, but a guy that's played well here in the past, he's made four straight cuts, including a 10th last year. I like the Callum Tarran call as well. Cheston Hadley is a guy that's coming in okay form that can birdie in bunches. So I like guys like Cheston. You'd never be shocked if you see him on day one. Like, he might be a first-round leader type guy and then watch him disappear. Ryan Gerard is another guy at $6,700. Been playing some pretty good golf. Troy Merritt loves this place, playing rough golf, but he's crushed this place every year he's been here. Peter Yawn at 65 is another guy to look at. You mentioned Sam Bennett. I'm not super in love with this range. There's a bunch of, like, Harry Higgs has had a couple good weeks, but I don't know if I can go to the Higgs again. He's just so ultimately tilting.
Yeah, but, it's sketched down there.
Yeah, it's rough. Like, Kevin Roy continues to rate out really well here. He's $6,100. I have no idea why he keeps rating out so well, but
Kevin Roy, are. Huh?
Yeah, I'm not saying he's seventh in my model, so I'm trying to figure it out. He missed the cut at the Canadian. I have no other stats on this man.
He played as Byron Nelson, too. I mean, that's, yeah, I don't know.
So it's not much. He's got 24 weighted rounds on here, but so that's why I said I'm not playing, but $6,200. Somehow he rates out freaking great here. Great par five score. If you want to go with that, he's a birdie machine when he plays 24 rounds, whenever that is. Must be like in the Caribbean or something when no one else plays golf. But yeah, not great. Let's recap. 10K and above, who you picking?
Ricky.
Yeah, I'll go Finau to be different. 9K range.
Tom Kim.
This is loaded. Give me Hideki. 8K.
Aberg.
Yep, chalky Aberg. I will go with Ekroat, 75 to 79.
Gordon Sargent.
Your buddy's going to be so mad at you. I'll go Mark Hubbard, 7K to 74.
I'll say Sam Stevens, so you can say
Carson Young. Yes, there's a ton of plays down here, though. That's what I could legit walk away feeling okay with life. The results might not be there. Going with like Bhatia, Carson Young, and Sam Stevens to get every guy up top you wanted. Like, and just going YOLO in a tournament with a lineup with that. 6K range, what do you like?
Peter Kist.
Yeah, whoever that is. I'll go with Sam Bennett. Let's go Sam Bennett in this one. It'd be fun to make like a Bennett, Ekroat, Aberg lineup and see where it finishes at the end of the week. If you're building cash, which people will do this week, it's not great, but if you are, how would you start it out?
Yeah, I couldn't do it, but like, I would put Justin Suh in there at 7,900, Rye at 7,800, and then probably like, you know, Hideki.
Yeah, I'd go like Hadwin, Kirk, and Aberg. I'd start there and see what you can do. Now, if you're playing tournaments, so good tournament week. What do you like in here?
Yeah, I got Ricky, Aberg, and Young.
Yeah, it's a great start to a tournament. To be different, I'm just going to say, give me Tom Kim, Hideki Matsuyama, and Aberg and build from there. See what you can do. That'd be fun. I think I'm going to eat the Aberg chalk, see what happens, because he's way too talented for this field. So I'm looking forward to the 40% rostered chalk bomb coming in on shoots four over on Thursday, knowing you have to be 600 to make the cut on Friday. It's going to be awesome. Good stuff there. All right, let's talk picks to win at the Rocket Mortgage Classic this week. Finau's 12-1, Ricky's 14, Morikawa 14, Hideki 16, JT and Homa 18. So is Tom Kim. So what do you like in here?
Are you looking on DK?
Yeah, did they change the prices?
Well, I mean, you might refresh it. I got Finau at 14 now and okay, Tom Kim at 20. Yep,
now I got 14, yes. You are there.
That's crazy.
Usually it auto-reflexes. That's weird.
It's all good. Yeah, Ricky at 14, not terrible. I've seen a lot of people post him on Twitter, though. So he should be chalky on DraftKings. And then further Aberg's down 40. The list. Huh?
Aberg's 40.
Yeah, I just don't. Yeah.
I don't know if he's got enough to win it.
Yeah, I just don't know that. 40, like he should be 100. He's never won anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Like, I mean, if I'm gonna bet that, like, why wouldn't I bet Ryan Palmer at 80-1?
That's a great point.
Yep. You know, I mean, he's a winner on PGA Tour, and he could, you know, just come out of nowhere and win. Yeah, it's tough. Further down, it just gets worse and worse and worse. Carson Young, little top 10 at 10-1.
That's fun. I'll say that much. I could see that being intriguing. Like Batia's, you know, he's 9-1 for a top 10.
Not Webb Simpson being 180-1 in this field.
Man, what has happened to Webster? And he's played okay here before. That's the funny thing. He's liked this golf course. We didn't even talk about him, but he has played well here before. And you know, Doc Redman, 250-1, eight plus 1800 top 10. Sounds like a lock.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, we'll leave it at that. We'll leave it at that, folks. If you guys know, you know. If you don't, you don't. Any final thoughts for the Rocket Mortgage? We're getting closer to the final major of the year.
Yeah, thank God. These next 2 weeks. Or what's next week?
Let me check real quick. I know it's.
John Deere.
It's John Deere. Then they head.
And to then the we Scottish. Get the we get the major Barbasol Championship. Yeah.
The same week as the Scottish, or is the open? Because don't they do the Scottish?
Yeah, it's the same week as the Scottish. Yeah,
yeah.
And then the week after that, it's the Open Championship. So we technically have two majors in the next month. With the Barbasol,
John Deere, Barbasol, and Scottish Open.
I mean, really.
So I guess play Kevin. I play Kevin Roy at the Barbasol. Is what it comes down to.
Yeah, I mean, sure he's in the field, but he's going to be 90,000 or 9,000 there. So.
Now that's the week we play your boy. We play your boy at the Barbasol, where he shows up and almost wins it again.
Same Stevens.
No, I was talking about your boy, your local hometown hero.
Teeter?
Yeah.
He's actually been playing well, too.
I know. He almost won that Corn Ferry in a few weeks. I was pulling for him so bad.
Yeah. No, that'll be exciting. I hope. I'm sure he'll be in the field because he'll at least get a sponsor invite.
Oh, yeah. He's got to be. Like, he should be there yearly. Like, there's
and
no
the guy that his new caddy is started like as like a like the one of the bag dudes at Champions Trace. So he's the same guy who was on the bag for I can't think of his name. He's an Asian dude who made a run at the Barbasol 2 years ago, kind of out of nowhere. But anyways, he was on the bag for him that week. So I agree. Looking forward to Teeter teeing it up.
Get him like $8,000 because he gets the hometown discount. And we go from there. Well, all right. We'll see how this week goes. It'll be fun. Birdie Fest. Get your popcorn ready. And then we get the John Deere next week. That'll be a doozy, as usual, the Zach Johnson Invitational. So we'll have fun with all that major around the corner. And then I'm really looking forward to seeing what the season looks like in the fall since we technically don't have a fall swing. I'm kind of curious what's going to happen there. Plus, I don't know if you saw today, they actually started releasing the documents given to the government. So that's going to get fun in the next few weeks.
Yep.
Rubber's going to meet the road there, as they say. Mm-hmm. And either the PGA Tour is going to be completely effed on this, or we're going to get something totally weird coming up. So we'll see. I think we'll get something totally weird because money always talks, people. So when you see a senator's wife driving around a new car or something, just know that was paid with Saudi money. So find Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods, the podcast at Always Press DFS. I'm at BD Intrick, and until next time, this was your 2023 Rocket Mortgage Preview. Catch y'all later.